Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Hey, everyone.
Hello!
What another episode of Hypecast! Show where we get hyped about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I'm your other co-host, David Bell.
Hey, I'm kind of a co-host. I'm Val Tossi.
Yeah.
And I'm the president of the show, Jeff May.
You're stepping down from treasurer?
Is president a step down?
Well, I mean, you're stepping down from your role as treasurer.
You're resigning as treasurer.
Oh, no. It turns out I got caught for a lot of embezzling, but apparently the president can't technically commit a crime, I found out recently.
Oh, yes, isn't that interesting?
So that way I can be exonerated from my embezzling.
So you pardoned yourself. That's cool.
I'm playing the long con in the Hypecast game. Yeah.
some real five-dimensional chess.
You're going to drain this Hypecast swamp?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's about time we got good non-political movie news talker about
this. Sure.
This is where we start over, right?
No, we never. Keep going. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't edit anything. It's raw.
It's like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
It's too late. We've left the atmosphere. We're all
oh,
in.
That's a good one. We've left the atmosphere.
You mean as a segue?
Yeah, it's a perfect segue.
Yeah, let's start with our trailer.
Our first trailer is Ed Asner.
Ed Asner, folks.
Hollywood legend.
I'm a movie about space.
This whole movie. He's just painted up like space.
This is fucking... It's Brad Pitt chasing Tommy Lee Jones through space?
I guess.
Yes.
Also, poor Liv Tyler. Her boyfriends are always floating away from her. Mm-hmm. I mean...
I know. They always got to go to space to save the world.
She's always waiting for them. Yeah,
or Mordor.
Mordor.
She's got to sit in Hugo Weaving's gazebo and cry. It's called Ad Astra, is what it's actually called.
Sure.
Oh, I was way off in my research then.
Yeah. You guys excited for this?
No, I'm sure it'll be great.
No.
Okay, so I am the only person excited for this shitty movie.
Here's the thing. I'm not excited, but I feel like it's going to be a good movie.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be Oscar bait or whatever. Like, I'm sure it's going to be fine.
I disagree with the Oscar bait. I think this movie, the trailer wants it to seem very serious, and then it includes a shot of a gunfight on the moon with rovers, and it was like, okay, I don't think this is going to be serious at all. You can't have that. You can't have that in your movie, right? You can't have a rover chase where they're shooting at each other on the moon.
Yeah, man, you can have that if you deep down try and imagine and believe in yourself.
Yes,
you can have that and more.
It's like a Call of Duty mission. That's like Call of Duty future warfare, whatever they call it, where you're like fighting on the moon.
Yeah. It's the idea of a ridiculous SNL sketch, one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you figure Tommy Lee Jones is playing his character from Space Cowboys?
Yes.
I actually think he's playing Two-Face. It's going to be a surprise.
A real
twist.
Surprise reveal.
Like the end of Split. You realize it's in the Unbreakable universe.
Right. They'll cut to Val Kilmer in a diner as Batman.
It's just weird, kind of chubby Val Kilmer.
Not quite fitting in the suit.
Yeah. It looks interesting because they were like, here's my dad. He was in space. And it's a photo of young Tommy Lee Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, man, I see it.
Not that. Yeah. they don't even young Tommy Lee Jones still looks like 40-year-old.
Well, 25-year-old Tommy Lee Jones looked 60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
He's got some hard years in him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like he was smoking a pack of Camels in the womb.
He looks like every other character from Chernobyl.
Yeah. You guys been watching it? You guys caught up?
We just, literally, this morning.
Yeah.
We just were riding in silence today.
That whole show, I'm like, I'm uncomfortable and I hate every single second of this. And if it doesn't win every Emmy, I'm going to riot.
Yeah.
I loved it. I was delighted by the show.
Haven't watched it yet.
It's so insane knowing that everything in it happened.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the real heartbreaking part.
It's aggressively stressful because you know the results.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching Rogue One, but if it really happened.
Yeah. Well, from what I've read, it's even kind of like toned down. Like the reality of it is even crazier than what they show on the show.
And that's you're saying that about a show that, spoilers, kills puppies. So
that episode was rough.
Yeah. Got a whole dog killing episode.
Ad Astra's like Chernobyl in space.
It's a good sign that we're just talking about Chernobyl.
I mean, I'm just very excited about that show because it was very good.
This movie to me is sort of like Gravity, where I was like, sure, I'll see it.
Yeah.
I wasn't invested in it.
Or is it The Martian? Because Matt Damon's in that one too, right?
Yes.
This is another one coming out, right? Matt Damon's not in this one.
No, he's in one coming up.
He could be in this one. We don't know.
He could be.
He showed up in Interstellar.
Yeah, it was a real surprise Damon.
Well, that's okay. That's what I mean is that the trailer's presenting itself as Gravity, as Interstellar, as The Martian. But I can't stress enough, there's a scene where rovers are chasing on the moon, shooting at each other.
It's more of an action event horizon than anything else.
Like, I can't take this movie seriously if it's going to include that. Like, it's no big deal. Like, it's just one of the shots.
I'm on board with the casual use of a rover gun battle on the moon. Like, I'm actually, like, the fact that they don't make that a highlight of the trailer, that it's not a thing to focus primarily on, actually piques my interest a little bit extra.
Right, it's like a footnote.
Yeah, it's like not mentioning a car chase and the French Connection in the same conversation.
It's also funny because right now, you know, it's June, early June, and we're having this conversation. We're like, yeah, sure, whatever about this movie. You know, a month from now, we're going to be like, let's go see that movie for the seventh time because it's 115 degrees outside.
Yeah,
they're entire Astra. Yeah.
We have air conditioning. And you're in Burbank.
It's very specific marketing. But it would be
it's
very
your
effective.
Last line of defense against heat stroke.
That's how movies did well during the Depression. Oh, by the way.
It's somewhere to go. It's somewhere to go. Okay, next trailer.
It's also how movies do well during my depression.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey.
Just a place to go.
Aww.
I just want to sit in the dark, not at home.
Exactly.
It is delightful. Okay, the next trailer came out like
right after we recorded last week.
But we have to talk about it because it's Pixar's next film.
Yeah,
and it's called Onward.
Yep.
Can I bring up my favorite part about Onward?
Yes.
About this whole thing. This is the big reveal to me that Chris Pratt can't do voices.
No. You're right. He's just himself.
He can't. He's just a different volume of Chris Pratt. Yeah. There's no voice change. It's all just a slight up or down with him.
That's fair.
That's fair. It is kind of a shocker.
It's weird to think about, though. When you watch it, you're like, oh, that's Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
But I mean, you do that with most things anyway. You're like, oh, yeah, that's 100%.
Well, with Alan Tudyk or something like that, you're like, oh, that was Alan Tudyk. That's exciting. That's fun.
Some actors can do voices. Yeah. Some are just like, oh, I'm not even going to try an accent.
I'm still going to make $18 million to come in and just talk.
Just Costner your way through. It's like, I'm not doing a fucking voice.
Yeah. Are you guys interested in this movie?
I feel like they didn't show it. Like, they didn't give much to go on.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in this.
Yeah, like it looks cute. Yeah. Like I'll probably see it, but I'm not like, oh, that's a really cool like concept or plot. I'm just like, okay. Yeah.
I'm interested in the extent that I'm interested in any Pixar film.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited to see it on a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll watch him.
Or I'm excited for this movie to somehow make me cry against my will.
Right.
It will. The writer-director's been involved with one of the films he worked on was Inside Out.
God damn it.
He worked on Brave.
Yeah. I look forward to taking acid and watching this movie. And being wishing that I didn't.
That's how it's intended.
It's really sad. Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Taking acid and watching a Pixar movie is the syncing up Dark Side of the Moon to Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
I'm like not invested in this. I don't care. And it's so weird to me to be in that situation because I was like, oh, this hits several cultural touchstones of things I like. And I'm just like, I don't care.
I care as much as I care about most Pixar's, except for the like Toy Story 4, the sequels that you know that Disney made them do. Those are like, I have very little enthusiasm for Toy Story 4.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I really was enthused about was Planes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Well, the second Fire and Rescue is quite good. The second Planes, it's like a disaster movie in Yellowstone.
Is Dane Cook in it?
Yeah, oh, yeah,
he sure is.
So.
Yeah.
So is
for all you Dane Cook heads out there.
Yeah. Ugh. Who else is in it? Fucking oh god damn it.
Well, I don't remember. Ed Harris, Westworld. I think.
Ed Harris.
Larry the Fios guy.
No, Ed Harris does a voice in it. He's like the Paul Newman of it. It's out of the Cars series, I would say Planes, Fire and Rescue is the second best.
That's really funny to me.
Yeah.
That Planes 2 is the second best out of the Planesiverse.
Yeah,
in the
Carsiverse. It's a real bummer. I've seen a lot of them because my nephew was really into them.
Like my nephew is Dane Cook.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and he made me watch them. He sat me down and was like, look, aren't these just as good as the regular Cars movies?
So I said, Uncle.
The worst part of Dane Cook are the people that opened for him that use that as their claim to fame because they are worse than he is by far and away.
That's a very specific riff on one very specific person.
That is a subtweet in spoken word form. It is because it's him, but there's a few others too that I'm just like, oh, of course you did. Mm-hmm. Like,
We can segue from Cars.
Yeah.
To the next trailer.
We sure can.
We could do that. It would probably be less clunky if I didn't say that. But the next trailer is Ford v Ferrari.
Segging from Cars. We are moving from Cars.
Nice.
To a show about
Matt
Cars.
Damon, nice. Who's building a car for Christian Bale.
Oh, I knew
Bale.
I saw I knew I saw Matt Damon somewhere when I was watching trailers.
Matt Damon in a cowboy hat.
Yeah, and Christian Bale doing just some fucking voice.
I don't know what the hell is going on.
Oh, my God.
He's the anti-Pratt.
Yeah.
Yep. He's the anti.
We've never heard his real voice except for that time he yelled at the lighting guy.
Right. Yeah. You're right. It's also he looks like he lost some weight for this role too. Because
of course
he can't stop doing that. Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Christian Bale? No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like not like that much weight. Like in the, like this is
clearly
based off a real person.
Considering he went from Vice to this, it's a lot of weight.
He's
a BMI yo-yo.
I just mean like your standard, your middle of the road,
right?
Christian Bale, like he's clearly skinnier than that, and it's funny because it's like no one cares, even if he's playing a real person who is slightly skinnier than him, he doesn't have to do that. As opposed to Matt Damon, who's just like, yeah, I'm just gonna say the lines
after
in
the informant.
Voice.
He's like, I'm just gonna do my thing. I'm not gonna, because he gained weight for the informant and couldn't get rid of it,
right?
Which is why he had to wear a fucking t-shirt for. For the fucking space one, Elysium,
mm-hmm.
where he got like a cybernetic spine grafted over his t-shirt.
Yes.
Wait, what?
And in that last Bourne movie he did, like he was still had informant thought on
him and he just couldn't get rid of it. Yeah.
Well, it's hard when you get older. How old is Matt Damon now?
He's 75 years old.
Yeah, he's 75.
Old.
Yeah.
He's 92.
Still looks younger than Tommy Lee Jones.
Kirk Douglas's age.
I'm not invested in car movies, and I'm like stoked on this movie for some reason.
Yeah, I'll see it.
That's weird. I'm kind of the opposite where it looks fine. I have no reason to see this movie. I'm sure I might for a podcast.
This is the epitome of like my dad is going to watch this movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm in it for the soundtrack. I'm stoked they have the Stones on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, it's a biopic, so mm-hmm. of course they do.
Man, Liv Tyler and the Stones. Like, man, that Tyler family's making some money this year.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what? You mean Aerosmith?
That's what I meant.
What band do you think the Rolling Stones are?
I don't know why I did that, but I mean, does this sparkling water have booze in it?
Oh, you remember Rolling Stones, Yellow Submarine. Yeah. We get the whole thing. We throw it together.
Wow. Now, one podcast I called you the wrong name, and now I was thinking that Steven Tyler is in the Rolling Stones.
People still call me the wrong name on Twitter now because of that one fucking episode.
It's all white dudes. It's just
we're
Steven
all,
Tyler,
we're all
you,
the goddamn
like,
same.
I don't know.
White Boston dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's from Boston, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think he's actually from, like, I think he's not even from Boston.
Well, yeah.
The band's just associated with
more from your neck of the woods.
I was going to say, like, people say I'm from Boston. Yeah.
Wait,
like,
well, I didn't know you were from Mass.
It's away from, distance, from Boston.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Western Mass, from Northampton, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Home of Calvin Coolidge.
Faces.
Harolds and Faces.
Harolds and Faces.
Yep.
We got Kurt Vonnegut. We got the Pixies.
Oh.
Uma Thurman went to UMass.
Oh, I went to UMass too, but nice. I'm no Uma Thurman.
Valerie Thurman went to
UMass. Thurman.
Valerie Thurman.
I think this movie looks really interesting because, like, what was the one that Chris Hemsworth did that should have done better and it didn't, about the Formula One guy?
Yeah.
With Ron Howard.
That's a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ron Howard directed a Formula One movie starring Chris Hemsworth.
I think.
And Daniel Brühl. What was that called?
I think racing movies are bad.
This one looks good, though.
Well, yeah. I think they can be. They're like, it's a really easy thing to make dramatic.
Yeah.
I've said this before in the podcast.
I saw Cars, too.
Yeah. I've said this before on the podcast. The racing movie I want to write is fucking, and I know it's going to happen at some point, is a pod racing movie done like one of these movies, where it's just a race movie, but it's fucking Star Wars. Pod racing. Get that sweet, sweet prequel
it's
money.
Called Rush. Rush.
I think what we need, I think what the world sort of needs is a reboot of, and you might hate me for saying this, but Cannonball Run.
Sure.
I don't
because nobody cares about that movie anymore, so
like,
why not?
Doing a Cannonball Run or to a lesser extent a version of Death Race 2020 that, while I love Jason Statham, is not that story of the Death Race story that they did, but a sort of cross-country...
Right.
Almost like Rat Race.
I wish I had any idea what you're talking about.
Well, damn it.
I think for me to be interested in a racing movie, you have to put someone on an electric guitar on the front of one of the cars with
flame like that. Floor. I'll take like that
you,
all
you
day.
It has to be Mad Max.
You have to have a new Mad Max racing movie.
Yeah.
God, that movie's so good.
It really is.
Yeah.
We all thought there was going to be a sequel, too.
Well, it took him like, what? 26 years? Yeah,
yeah, it's going to be a while.
Like, Babe was his version of procrastinating. Like, he made Babe on the side, well, the way we pay, like, Candy Crush.
Well, isn't Babe 2, like, supposed to be, like,
Pig
insane?
In the City.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, and he made Happy Feet, which is also a great movie. It's fucking George Miller, like, I don't know.
George Miller owns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah.
Anyway, I want to see Ford versus Ferrari,
yeah,
even though I don't care about cars. And I want Ford to lose. I hate Ford.
They don't lose. They...
Oh, really? Why? Why, Jeff? Why do you hate Ford?
Because I bought a bad car from them.
That he still has. Poor guy. See, Tom, you're not the only one who's having car problems.
I know.
My car is doing great. I got a Toyota Matrix, and it's terrific.
Toyotas are great.
It's been across the country twice. I drove it to Chicago and back to Massachusetts, then to Los Angeles and back, and then to Los Angeles again.
Damn.
And it's doing great.
You know, now it's just going to burst into flames.
Oh, yeah. It's exploding as we speak.
Right.
Just like the Matrix.
It grew arms and is ripping itself apart right now.
Yeah.
Screaming like that one robo from RoboCop 2. It shoots itself in the head.
Oh, man. All right. Let's go to the next one. Which is Loose.
This looks interesting, actually.
Yeah. Octavia Spencer is in like everything lately.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always thinking it's the same movie, just with a different version of the trailer. I'm like, what's Ma doing in this?
The Ma Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. Oh, so Ma works at the school. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. That makes more sense now.
But yeah, this looks fascinating. The only thing that I didn't buy was Tim Roth as a caring father. I was just like, that man is way too sinister.
That's why he adopted a kid.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, this looks like a cool thriller.
It is interesting, and I wonder if there's going to be a big pushback on the fact that they're playing paying a refugee type character as a villain.
Well, that's
it's unclear if he's the villain.
Yeah,
film. I know.
Real quick, the movie is about, it's Tim Roth and Naomi Watts take in this refugee kid. They adopt him. And he starts having trouble at school with one of his teachers, played by Octavia Spencer. And it's like this real, almost, I get a little bit of a Hitchcock vibe from it, where it's like, yeah, you're not sure who's lying or who's telling the complete truth. And it's like this escalating conflict between them. It looks really interesting.
See, I'm very aware of that. I'm just saying that I don't know if you know about the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But they like to shoot first and consider anything else later.
Yeah. I mean, this movie feels like it's addressing that stuff, at least in the trailer.
Well, I also think, too, there's right now in, I mean, Jeff, you know, because you were a teacher. Right now, it's like, it's a scary time to be a teacher with the internet and everything. Is that, like, we've had friends that have gotten fired for,
you
like,
can't even
silly
flirt
stuff
with a kid now without being accused of me-tooing somebody.
No, but it is interesting, though, that, like, it's tough now for teachers because everything is a fireable offense. Like,
right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you would know more than me. I don't know why I'm interrupting you.
No, I was just going to say it's interesting because there was a lot of times that you'd have a parent say, you know, are you calling my kid a liar? And the easiest way to diffuse that is to be like, did you ever lie as a teenager?
Right. Or be like, you know your kid's a fucking liar.
Yeah.
You 100% can't do that.
Yeah, I know. I'm just surprised more parents are like, yeah, I know the kid. Like,
yeah,
I believe
you. Yeah, they're like, my child would never lie. I'm like, yeah, my mom would have said that too, and I was lying.
Yeah.
We lie. It's human nature to lie.
Have you seen Chernobyl?
Because really, you should see it if you have.
Honestly, fuck whatever we're talking about. Just go watch Chernobyl.
No, with the... why were we talking about this? I was just going to say being a teacher is like being like a little celebrity where like your internet presence is just, it's like a small group.
Have you not heard that bit I do?
You have a, maybe that's where I got it from.
I literally do that bit.
Maybe you incepted me.
It's like you can't, there's no privacy for you.
Yeah. Right. And it's the same, your internet, if you say something that's taken wrong on the internet, like there, it all goes crumbling down.
Your career can fall apart. Yeah.
Yeah. I bet I got incepted by your...
Yeah, because that's a joke. One of the earliest jokes I wrote actually was just being a teacher is being the world's shittiest celebrity.
Yes, I did hear
you don't
that.
Get the paycheck for it, but there's always people that know what you're doing everywhere you go.
Right. Okay. So that's Loose. Yeah.
Everybody go see Loose.
A chilling tale of the early years of my comedy career.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Final trailer. I don't think this is like big on the internet. It doesn't have many clicks, many views on the YouTube, but it's called The Cleaning Lady.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horror
movie. I
think
this looks really interesting.
It's also known as Single Burned Female.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, he did the thing.
Yeah, but that is exactly what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the story
single
of a cleaning
burned
lady.
Female is an accurate description.
Yeah. It's a cleaning lady who has burns on her face who gets obsessed with the woman she works for. Which is, you know, why you don't talk to the cleaning help. Yeah. You know, that's
you just let him in and you leave.
Yep.
That's right.
You lock yourself in the bathroom until they need to clean it.
Don't make friends with the staff.
Yeah. But yeah, it looks, I don't know, it looks like a fun thriller.
It looks nice and creepy.
I'm in.
It's got kind of like a Elijah Wood Maniac vibe to it.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think she's going to try to steal her face.
Yeah.
She makes a mask of it.
Yeah, right. she definitely makes a plaster cast of her face.
Yeah.
She
definitely kidnaps her, too.
Oh, for sure.
They show it in the trailer.
It also looks like she's taking other people, too.
Yes.
So it's like...
Right.
This is not a good time for these previews. All have like unfortunate people as possible villains in every role.
Because
you got her, you got your refugee... In Loose, and then in Ad Astra, we have Tommy Lee Jones, who has progeria.
Yeah,
and he's been dealing with it for many years now.
I don't know.
He's just a little boy. He just wants to graduate high school.
Him and Tom Holland are in the same class. He's like Jack.
They should remake Jack
with
Tommy
Lee
Jones.
Oh my god!
Just not into it.
But
like,
yeah,
no
but not as a kid.
Idea. Yeah, no, at no point selling the idea that he's a child.
I'm a 10-year-old boy.
And the whole movie is just people like,
I don't think he's really 10.
Lying.
He doesn't act like a 10-year-old.
Is he called Jack? Like question mark at the end.
Jack.
They call it Jonathan because he refuses to be called Jack.
Oh. If my parents wanted me to be called Jack, they would have named me Jack.
Yeah. Everybody go see Jonathan.
Starring Tommy Lee Jones as a non-precocious 10-year-old boy. Just still going to have a crush on Fran Drescher.
Christian Bale plays the dad, also does a weird voice.
It's just a mess.
Featuring Chris Pratt as the dog that talks like Chris Pratt.
It's perfect. It's the perfect movie. Shit.
The fact of that fucking insane movie.
Well, I mean, why not? At this point,
why wouldn't we make that? Yeah.
We're in the abyss. Yeah. Like, it's like
we're in the end game.
At least it's not a remake. Like, at least it's an original idea.
We have until 2050 for this movie to come out.
Yeah.
What are we clinging to here?
Okay, that's it for trailers.
All right.
We got the news stories now.
Yeah.
Oh, was there more things we should have looked at?
Oops. Yeah, there's some stories that you're going to be down with.
I don't like click on a lot of the articles that we post. I just look at the headline.
Ooh, I even wrote comments on some of these if you didn't notice.
I noticed. First story is that Keanu Reeves is rumored to join the MCU.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well,
Keanu!
I think the MCU is going to hit a problem.
Yes.
I think people...
And that is John Wick.
Yes. Well, I think they finished the big story, the 10-year story, and I think people are legit ready to move on. Excuse me. I say that with no evidence, just my own emotions, where it's like, and they're like, oh, here's Spider-Man. And it's like, well, half the universe just died and got brought back. And it feels like it's like the Lord of the Rings to the Hobbit. Yeah.
So this is what we refer to this in comics. This is the issue 13.
Right. It's after the big run. Yeah.
This is of when you do a maxi series of 12 issues that wraps up. Usually the first six issues are a small story point building up to a larger one. And that second 12 issues is the largest. It's like the sort of culmination of that.
Right.
Then they will decide, or usually beforehand, but they'll decide whether they want to continue the series to keep going based on how well it does and how well it's received. So we're looking now at sort of our...
Right. And I would trust Marvel to know how to handle this.
But people also did that with... People were afraid of that after Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that after Avengers, it was all right, well, we did the thing that they set out to do, so...
I see what you mean with that, but I do... Like, Avengers at least was continuing. There was the shit with Thanos in that.
Now, here's what's interesting about the Eternals, though, is because it's such an... It's relatively obscure. It's sort of... It's something that Jack Kirby just kind of threw together.
Is the Eternals what they're thinking of for him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Would that be a big... Because my theory is that Marvel was just like, okay, we just freed up a bunch of Robert Downey Jr. money.
Yeah, who can we get?
Let's go to Keanu.
Well, I think Keanu just deserves all the rewards.
Yeah. And they must see John Wick, and they're like, let's get him.
Yeah, let's have him do something cool. Yeah.
Who would he play in the Eternals?
Here's the thing about that is like whether... Depending on who he plays or not, what we find out is Thanos is himself a type of Eternal.
Okay.
So that gives you sort of where they could be going with this. The Eternals, because they're very steeped in Jack Kirby mire, is probably going to have an aesthetic that's not terribly dissimilar to Ragnarok.
Ooh.
When they're on like Battle World or whatever it is and stuff like that. Like that sort of like the kind of trippy 70s vibe.
And that would be a smart... Are they in space?
Sometimes.
Okay, because it would be smart for them to go away from Earth for a while.
Yeah.
Give Earth a rest.
But they do that...
Well, they do with the Guardians, too.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. I mean like for the next big thing. Like I feel like moving to space a little bit...
You have to do both.
Yeah.
Because people will relate to Earth...
Yes.
Like people still, there's still the film idea that people like seeing things that they can place themselves in.
Right.
But then also the idea of fantastical bullshit.
Yeah.
So they're going to do that with Asgardians of the Galaxy. And then I think Eternals is going to do that as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I trust them to be able to keep it going, but I think there might be an extent where just... Like mainstream, most people might just be, there just might finally be tired of this right? Like, I think comic book fans are never going to stop watching these movies.
Yeah, they're always going to be massive.
I think of people like my family, like I've had, like, with Endgame, I've had, like, my parents or my sister be like, I guess I'm going to go see that. Because it's like, it doesn't even matter if they're into comics or not. It's like the big fucking thing.
And then there's people like me who are like, I'm going to see Dark Phoenix because I have an addiction.
I'm so excited for Dark Phoenix.
It's at 20%, you guys.
Yeah. Everybody I've talked to is like, it is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, I can't wait.
I had somebody that literally said, I can't wait until the embargo is lifted.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so...
Oh,
I'm
it's
so
lifted
Wait,
now.
What does that mean?
They're not allowed to review it until after an embargo goes up.
Well, yeah, they can't say what their review is until you lift an embargo after
it's
it.
Usually it's usually the Wednesday before the movie comes out.
Everybody bought their tickets ahead of time.
Yeah, one of the reviews I saw said that there's an entire like plot sequence about them having to cross a street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm so excited.
I've heard that too. That's what Mick was saying too. Was that it was like just insane.
Yeah, it's like nonsense. That. I hear it's like nonsense.
Oh,
I'm
man,
so excited.
So excited.
Yeah.
There are not many good X-Men movies.
No. Here's hoping for a cameo from my spiky bad boy.
Yes.
From X3. Your spiky boy. So proud of him.
I love my spiky boy.
I love every single X-Men because I don't know why. I probably shouldn't.
Because they're insane.
Because they're god awful.
Because they're stupid. They're just
Just can't wait to watch Jennifer Lawrence be so fucking over it.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Oh, in the trailer she's over
in Apocalypse because she's barely in the Mystique makeup in Apocalypse.
No, she's just like CG my face, put some of that shit on. I don't give a
shit. Movie magic, this crap.
You know what? Yellow stickers on my fucking, just put them on.
Right. This is sort of the problem. I don't think they're complaining with being like with the cinematic universes where it's like getting. Like, for someone like Jennifer Lawrence, it was like getting like a just whatever job she could get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was new. Like,
yeah.
She was like, yeah, I'll play Mystique. And it's and then they're just like, okay, you can't leave.
We tied you into six movies.
It's like getting a job at like Subway because you need some money. And then you get hired for a new job. And Subway's like, you're not leaving.
But that was also a sort of reboot of the franchise.
Yeah.
Of a franchise that is guaranteed to make a lot of money.
It wasn't a bad decision.
Like, I think maybe her contract was bad.
Right.
She might not have wanted to sign because she signed on for 4 or 5.
Right. Yeah, and I mean,
she's been in. This will be the fifth one, right?
Yeah. So because she was in First Class, she was in First Class, then Days of Future Past,
then Apocalypse,
and then
Apocalypse.
This
is the fourth one,
and then so this is like if I was her, I would have been like, I'll do 3. We'll do an option on 4. Because after Apocalypse, I'd be like, I'm fucking done.
At this point, she must be like, I'm setting fire to the set. Throughout the day until you kill me off.
Well, I wonder too, like who her reps were that agreed to that deal. They were like, no, you should sign this.
Yeah.
I mean, not for nothing, but the first two movies she was in are very good.
Yeah.
The first two X-Men movies that she's in, First Class and Days of Future Past, are quite good.
Yeah.
And then Apocalypse just slams on the brakes. And it's just like, you know, remember when we used to be bad? Let's do bad stuff again.
We just watched it with on a patron movie night like last week. It was the first time I had seen it. It was shockingly bad. Like I was very surprised at how bad it
when
was.
You have Oscar Isaacs as the Thanos of your universe and instead he just seems like a weird, creepy, depressed mummy.
Let's take Oscar Isaacs and make him nothing like Oscar Isaacs. So he's just unrecognizable.
Isaac, he always looks like Isaac, he was.
I know. I was why are we pluralizing
Isaac?
It?
It always looks like he was. He always had a face like he had just come, like he had just achieved orgasm.
As Apocalypse, you're right. Yeah.
Like he was kind of like always like eyes half opened and like kind of like.
They cast him. They cast Oscar Isaac as the ultimate big bad in X-Men. To just be bored the entire movie.
Yeah. It's so objectively bad. But Keanu Reeves being in a... I think this is like the new Andy Warhol statement is like, everybody's going to get their Marvel movie.
Sure.
Also, Keanu Reeves is like... He's always been obviously in demand, but recently he's kind of resurfaced as everyone being like, everybody loves Keanu. Keanu's so great. All these stories about him being like such a wonderful human.
Great story.
Yeah. Yes. But also like it's almost like they're like, oh, well, we're safe with him because so many people are getting canceled that they're like, oh, well, we can announce him and like we'll be all right.
Keanu's safe.
Turns out Keanu, to do a John Wick movie, gets to kill the dog every time he does it. Oh, man.
That's how he gets into character. He has to see a dog die.
I have to see the dog die right in front of me. I do think that though Keanu is that very safe bet. And I was going to say, though, it's like, and Keanu delivers legitimacy. But then I was like, oh, remember that romantic comedy he did with Winona Ryder that lasted like 6 days in the theater?
Yeah.
Destination Wedding.
God.
Yeah, and I heard it was so bad.
I mean, whenever he does any romantic movie, it's not great. I don't think he's capable of like I think he's capable of love like Siddhartha, like the Buddha is capable of loving all mankind, but I don't think he can have a direct connection with anybody.
Did you see Always Be My Maybe yet?
No.
Netflix movie with Ali Wong.
I hear it's fucking great.
He's in it and he plays himself in it and it's pretty funny.
Yeah. I got to watch that. Because
if you want to see him in a rom-com.
But he's not, again, he's not like the romantic lead.
Yeah, he's kind of, in a way, almost the antagonist.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, let's get to the next story.
Here comes my favorite one.
Ah, all right. So not only is Robert Pattinson cast as Batman, but we now get a clearer picture of what it's going to be. Hopefully a trilogy, and it's going to be more like detective noir style.
Inject
this into my fucking veins.
Yeah,
I think this is going to be really cool.
This is what I mean, obviously, Tom and Jeff want to watch that Batman.
We are going to watch the shit out of this Batman.
Yeah, I think they're going to get all three. I think that everybody involved in stuff, this is going to be...
Not gotten three Batman movies?
That's true. Well, no,
well,
I guess...
Ben Affleck.
He was even in three.
Yeah, because Suicide was? Squad.
He's briefly in Suicide Squad.
Well,
which means that we get to do an episode of Suicide Squad for Tom and Jeff.
We get to.
I don't want to compare this to the Nolan Batmans, but I think we're going to get like a unique Batman again.
Yeah.
I like the idea of it being a noir film.
Yes.
A detective film.
Yeah, I'm into that very much so.
Yeah.
Do you think Pikachu will be in it?
I hope.
Pikachu noir.
Do you think they're going to tie this to the fucking... I mean, I know it's supposed to be standalone, but that Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix?
I think we're going to get a series of prequels before the Snyderverse. I think Warner is too stubborn to do such a soon reboot. So I really genuinely feel like this is going to be young Ben Affleck's Batman.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is still going to be in the Snyderverse?
I think so.
That's a shame.
Warner... When was the last time you heard Warner make a really genuinely good decision about what they do with their movies?
Warner Brothers, the last good decision they made is getting Harry Potter. That lasted for a while.
It's a pretty good idea. Yeah.
This was Warner Brothers' problem is there was a period in the 2000s where they were doing great.
Yeah.
They were buying multiple houses for themselves. They were having a great time. And then all of a sudden, it all went away. Their Batman was gone. Their Harry Potters were gone. And they were like, oh, let's do it again. And they fucking did Fantastic Beasts and the Snyderverse.
I've tried to watch the Fantastic Beasts movies several times, and I can't get through them.
I haven't seen the second one, but I didn't mind the first one. It wasn't my favorite, but I didn't hate it.
You know what? Fuck you, Val.
Wow. Wow.
I will say the second one is, I recommend it because it is gibberish. It's a gibberish film.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's pretty, awful.
When the Pirates movies get to like 4 and 5 and you're like, what is even happening?
I can't believe you guys watched that many of them.
I didn't. I got up to 3, I think, or 2.
There's literally scenes in the Fantastic Beasts 2 where it's like, I don't know where this person is. I don't know how they got in this room. I don't know what's happening. There's gibberish moments.
It's like the second Matrix.
Yes.
Where you're like, why is there Matrix. A key guy all of a sudden?
Yeah. Okay, moving down the list.
It's the second Matrix for 2 movies.
The Russo brothers, post-Endgame, are making a Magic the Gathering series for Netflix.
Yeah. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I've known about this for, like, kind of a while.
Really?
Yeah.
And you betrayed us by holding this in?
It's either that or betray an NDA.
Mm.
I can see where your allegiance lies.
Yeah, that $100,000 lawsuit doesn't exactly seem like something I want to walk away with.
Do you think that maybe, since it's for Netflix, do you think that maybe there's going to be a crossover with Stranger Things?
I mean,
I want there to be.
Castlevania?
Magic the Gathering needs to be contained in its own world, because its world is Magic the Gathering has created an interesting mythos that is extremely dense. Dense in a way, because they keep releasing different card sets. There's like two sets a year.
Surprisingly dense. Like yeah.
Not if you're in the world of the collectible card games, Tom.
They should go the D&D route and get Owain's brother and Jeremy Irons.
And Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Fuck it.
It's me, Magic the Gathering. It's like, that's not the character's name. What?
It is now.
But like, yeah, so Magic the Gathering has a very thick, very dense backstory for a game that's 25 years old. But we also seem to forget that it's been 25 years before we actually got a narrative that isn't... I think they've done novels.
Okay.
But this is the first media that you get from Magic the Gathering. And Magic the Gathering was the most popular card game on the planet for 25 years straight.
How do you think that they're going to tell the story? Do you think it's going to be something where there's like kids playing the game and everybody has a character? Do you know what I mean?
I don't think so.
No.
I want it to be that. I want it to be like a 90s show where the kids are playing and it magically goes.
Yeah, it's like Jumanji or something.
Sucked into the game. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Oh yeah, so the intro credits is literally them as people, and then you see them get sucked into the board game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Captain Anne.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. Jumanji.
That's Nicol Bolas.
Oh God.
The Elder Dragon.
I want this so bad.
The Elder Dragon.
Jeff, I have a foil Nicol Bolas.
I was like, that's a real thing.
That is a real card, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Do you have the Planeswalker foil Nicol Bolas?
I do.
Or the here's the thing about this world. No, because here's the thing, the company that's making it, Octopi, I believe, and like they're all working. I actually worked on a project that should be coming out within the next couple of months, I'm guessing, with a lot of names of people that you'll know. And when I went to record VO last week, at their place, and there was just boxes of open Magic the Gathering cards all over the place, and I was just like, can I have these? Can I have them? And they're like, no. And I was like, but
that's why you don't ask.
But I want them.
Yeah.
And they're like, we need this.
You shouldn't have asked.
What a
you
good story.
Yeah, maybe that was a bad story. Here's the deal, though. Right now in their offices, there are masses of boxes of Magic the Gathering cards.
Okay, so what you're saying is we should stage like a Heat-style heist and take all the Magic cards.
Kinda?
Yeah.
No, that already happened in Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah. My friend got $10,000 worth of cards stolen from his store.
Isn't that crazy?
And he had it on camera, and the cops were like, no, sorry.
What? Cops can just refuse service?
Yeah.
They just won't do anything. Like, it's cleansed. Not worth it. They're like, you're insured.
That's crazy.
It's bullshit. All right. So, it looks like this is an added thing in the doc I haven't seen for our next story, which is that Tarantino apparently announced a Django Zorro movie?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is this his final movie? Is this what he's ending on?
There's a comic of this already.
Unlikely.
There is?
Yes. It was a graphic novel. The movie's, I assume, is going to be based on the graphic novel. It's unlikely that he's going to direct it.
Okay, because there's also
but he's going to produce it.
Yeah, he'll produce it. Yeah.
Yeah, when he said he only is going to do 10 movies, wasn't there like an interview? I remember, I haven't looked it up, where he kind of says like, "Well, I might do movies after that. They just won't be like, it'll be like fun." Like, is he doing the Kevin Smith thing?
Like, I'll do a Star Trek after this.
Exactly, where he's like, I'm going to do this amount of movies, then I'm going to get high a bunch and make a movie about a fucking walrus man. Like, I'm not going to give a shit at a certain point.
Yeah.
So maybe this is just post 10 movies, he's just going to go fucking nuts.
Maybe. I assume this will be like a hostile situation where he's just like the executive producer of the film.
Yeah. Right.
And written, I mean, Tom, you wrote this too, right? It's written by Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah.
Which, that is extra insane.
What did he write?
Gerard Carmichael is a comedian. He had an HBO special, and he had the Gerard Carmichael Show, which was a on NBC, I believe.
Huh. So this is madness. This is just madness.
It's kind of insane.
Okay. Okay, I'll watch it.
I mean, it might be a cool movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting tonal shift for Django. Although Django was always kind of over the top, it does deal with some serious shit.
Yeah. I don't think it's a tonal shift at all.
Not so much, no.
A freed, freed slave and a Mexican freedom fighter?
Are they going to fight
true,
or are they going
to
team up?
They're going to team up. They team up.
They're not going to do Batman v Superman? Where
like Django is the sort of slave version of Zorro in a way.
That's kind
of
true.
Or are they going to fight because they and then stop fighting because they find out that their moms have the same
name?
They
should.
Oh, man.
But I'm stoked on that. And so help me God if they get Antonio Banderas as the Zorro.
Oh my God.
Wow. They probably would too.
That would be amazing.
He's got that. Have a good reputation, right?
They've got that Robert Rodriguez connection.
So we're going to get Rodriguez, okay?
I can see Rodriguez doing this. Because not?
Maybe.
Oh, and I mean, you know that Tarantino trusts him to direct his characters.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Shit. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm into this.
Yeah. Final story is hilarious to me. Kind of sad too. Is that Swamp Thing show that we talked about in previous episodes? It's been canceled after one episode.
Yep.
Does that mean they're not releasing them?
I don't know.
Yeah. Where did it air? Has it aired?
DC Universe.
Yeah.
We can watch it. It's great. Apparently.
Oh, yeah. Let's go watch it.
Yeah, it was great. So I think DC executives saw it and they're like, "No, this is good. Yeah, we should get rid of it.
This is exactly. This isn't what we're known for. We need to get rid of this.
Yeah, it's a money thing. What happened was they reduced it from like 13 episodes to 10.
Yeah.
And that was the first bad sign. And then apparently they didn't get the rebate they thought they were going to get shooting in, I think, like North Carolina or somewhere like that. And so I think they just looked at their budget and they're like, we can't afford this show because streaming is not something you make money doing.
Nope.
Like Netflix is in debt. So if DC wants to compete, they have to lose money, which they don't appear to be.
As we know about Warner, that investment is not worth it for them.
Yeah. But everybody likes it.
I mean, I'm hearing really good things. But I also, wasn't it pre-canceled? We had this conversation, I think, on the last Hypecast that I did, where it's kind of believed that Warner is doing its own Disney Plus. And so they're going to kill the DC app and then shift everything into the Warner app.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah, that was...
Warner's doing their own...
That was like the inside hot goss that you brought. Like, Dave and I hadn't heard that. That was a contribution.
Yeah.
NBC's also doing their own, so they're going to pull from Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That means The Office, Friends, all that shit.
No. Well, for me, it's This Is Us. That's where I watch that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right,
no, this is... it's on NBC, so it's on Hulu. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Hulu is now owned by Disney completely. So Disney will probably... I don't know what they're going to do with Hulu. I assume they're going to put all their like Merrimack shit on Hulu. Or something.
Wouldn't it be cool
Chasing Amy.
If they had one, like, almost like an all-you-can-eat plan or like an all-you-can-watch plan where it's like every single streaming service, every single channel, everything
It's called cable.
It's called cable.
No, but it's not because you've got things like Netflix and stuff that are making...
It's what we're going to...
You know?
It's the joke of what this all is that we're reinventing television, basically.
It's ridiculous.
It's going to be some companies like, okay, you pay us this lump sum of money, we'll provide you all these channels of streaming. And it's like, this is what
we're just going all the way back around.
But you're
full circle.
That's totally what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's going to be weird. Yeah, I think that's it for the news stories, you guys.
That was the news. There were shows about cars, and some shows were then canceled, and things are not great.
How is it that you can stay on tune for that?
Oh, Roast Show. Welcome to the Roast Show. Did you know we're in love?
Yeah, I can tell.
No.
It's filling the room.
We're so nice to each other when we're not on a microphone.
I don't get it. As soon as there's another person by, she's like, I'm going to make Jeff feel bad.
Yep.
Taking you down a few
pegs. It's usually because you rip me apart on Twitter, so then I have to come at it when I have any type of
I posted
outlet.
Her nudes.
Oof. Shots fired.
Yeah, she didn't even send them to me. I just took them when she was in the shower.
Yep.
Yeah. Posted them.
Yep.
It's the camera like that one scene in Karate Kid when he's rolling the joint in the bathroom. But with my... No?
No.
Okay. Remember when Johnny's rolling the joint?
Everybody listening to this just was like, oh, that's kind of weird.
Hose over the thing. And it's a perspective from Johnny up. No? Okay.
No, I've watched that fairly recently. Well,
you finally out-referenced yourself.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it. It's been a while since I've watched it.
I feel like I need to apologize for not remembering this scene from Karate Kid.
No, do not.
Okay, let's get to the final thing. Let's get to a movie that deserves more hype, you guys.
Yeah, Dave, tell us about this movie.
Planes 2.
What is it?
It's called Freaks. It's coming out August of this year. It's got an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Tomatoes,
I believe is how it's pronounced.
Yep. It's got Emile Hirsch.
Ooh, Speed Racer.
Yeah, playing a maniac.
Well, it's not a huge stretch for him.
Character, yeah. Yeah, this looks very interesting. This is the trailer presents itself as like a young girl who's in this like rundown house, and Emile Hirsch is her father, and he's like insisting that she can't go out and that the world is there's something wrong with the world. And she's looking out and she can see like a regular ice cream truck man. And it appears like, oh, he's a maniac. He's keeping this girl in his house and telling her that the world's fucked up. But as the trailer progresses, like some weird shit starts happening. It's got, what's his name?
Bruce Dern.
Thank you.
Ooh, you know, there's weird shit when Bruce Dern shows up.
Bruce Dern acting weird. I dug into it a little more, and yeah, there's something very sinister happening. There's a bit of a twist in this movie that I won't share, but like you can sort of see it from the trailer, things are not what they seem.
Right. It seems to be like a world of like superpowered people.
Yes.
Things get a little freaky.
Yes, because there's like
God
someone.
Damn
on,
it.
Yeah, someone on the news talking about freaks and like. I'm assuming this girl is one of them or something like that. Like he's protecting her, but it's presented like she's a prisoner.
Oh, so it's kind of like X-Men.
Freaks.
It's kind of like X-Men. You're right. She's kind of a Jean Grey type.
These turtles. Babies.
Babies.
You know what? This is really stupid and not related, except it was a 90s reference. And that's what brought me here. I was driving by a gas station the other day. Mm-hmm. You know the Sinclair gas stations?
Yeah, the little dinosaur.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the last name of dinosaur.
The dinosaurs. Yeah.
Do you think that's what they did?
I mean, maybe.
I'm going to go with yes.
That's kind of fascinating. I never thought about that.
I hadn't thought about it either until literally like a day ago. And I was like, I wonder if that's why.
Honey, I'm gas.
Nice.
We should do Tom and Jeff Watch Dinosaurs.
Yes.
Right.
Don't you take that from me.
They all get killed by a meteor.
Last thing about this is the weirdest thing is the directors have directed two movies that I am aware of that like I was like, oh, I know what that is. One is Leprechaun Origins.
Yeah.
And the other is the Kim Possible movie.
Sure.
So,
our buddy's in that.
Is in that. He's the villain.
Yeah.
So that's just a hell of a spectrum there. Between the two. So this could be anything. This could be anything between Leprechaun Origins and the Kim Possible movie.
Hmm. Or something way beyond that spectrum.
Yeah. But yeah, it looks exciting. It's getting good reviews. I don't know. People check out the trailer for sure. At least check out the trailer. That's all I'm asking.
Freaks.
Please.
Freaks.
It's a remake of that old movie, Freaks.
Yes. Right, yes.
That movie is fucking crazy.
That every single film studies class makes you watch.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I watched it in film school.
And then you have nightmares of the armless guy with the knife in his mouth crawling after you for the rest of your life.
Mm. The part where he rolls a cigarette with his mouth was pretty impressive.
That's the actual freak show that he does.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with his arms and legs.
He's got to get by somehow, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's a sode, everyone.
Yeah, it's definitely a sode.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a sode.
We did it. Yeah, thanks, Jeff and Val, for doing the show.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Do you guys have stuff you want to plug? Where can we find you? What can people do to give you money and eyeballs?
Well, we survived our tour. That's exciting. And let's see. I run a monthly show at the Hollywood Improv called the Mermaid Comedy Hour. It's the second Monday of the month. So if you are in Los Angeles, you can check that out. And it might be going on the road soon. So keep your ears peeled, I guess. You can find me on social media. Peel those ears. Why can't you? You can find me on social media at Valerie_Tossie. Jeff?
Mint on Card is the second Friday of every month in beautiful Magnolia and Burbank, a blast from the past. So come check that out. Sideshow with Jeff May, available every other Tuesday through Sideshow Collectibles. So check that out. I've had a lot of cool guests, including Todd Stashwick from the Kim Possible movie,
ooh,
among other people.
Like me.
Like Valerie Tossie. Oh, sure. Sure.
Yeah, I took the bullet for the first episode. Yeah.
First episode. Let's see. You can find you guys. It's fucking Gamefully Unemployed. You guys know me.
You guys know Jeff, right?
Listen to Tom and Jeff watch Batman. You dumb dicks.
Yeah, do it.
Do it. Do it.
Dave, what do we got?
Just the Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Check out the aforementioned Tom and Jeff watch Batman, and Fox Mulder is a maniac.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. You guys. Yeah. All right. Should we get the hell out of here?
Yeah, let's leave.
Bye.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, goodbye.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at @thecorlew, Corlew, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.